gets it inside. Frank Gore is still going. Touchdown, San Francisco.
Two from the 40. Couple of tight ends. Receiver right and Adrian. Hand off Adrian. Scoots loose up the middle. Across the 30. To the 20. Inside the 10. Touchdown.
First down and 10. Johnson. Gets a shoulder square. Watch out. He's got getting away from the top speed. Touchdown.
Welcome in to Grinding the Edge here on South Harmon. I'm your host, Koopa, and you can find me on X at Dynasty Koopa and everywhere else at Koopa Troopa 8. I know it's that time of year that you might start thinking about getting those new jerseys for the upcoming NFL season in order to show off your teams that you love and the players that you love on your fantasy teams. If you're considering going and getting a jersey, go check out our partners at Fanatics at Certified Shit. That's certifiedsh.it. If you use our affiliate code, it'll help us out and allow us to be able to do some awesome giveaways sometime in the future. So once again, if you're going to get anything that is certified NFL gear, MLB gear, literally any sport, as long as it's on Fanatics, use our affiliate link, which you can find at Certified Shit. That's certifiedsh.it. This week, I want to talk about a topic that I got reminded of when I was listening to Manic and Chill from Scott Connor and Shane Manila. If you have not checked out their show, it's an awesome show with two great minds from the Dynasty space. But one question they were asked was about roster cloggers. And one thing that was said kind of in passing was how there were a lot of tight end roster cloggers, even in leagues where there were really high tight end premiums. And so I know that this is the case, and I've felt like this is the case for a long time. So I wanted to bring it out to everybody to talk about what it truly means to have a lot of these roster cloggers at tight end, even in these really high tight end premium leagues. So to start with, let's set some baselines. What I'm doing is I'm looking at the literal replacement player for every single week. This is an update that will be coming to the Warp tool sometime here in the next few weeks, but currently I'm just going to be giving you the data for different kinds of leagues. These numbers are for the number of players that fit into your lineup on a weekly basis. This is not warp over the entire season. This is literally just how many of each player you should have filling out your starting lineup in a standard start 10 PPR. It is two quarterbacks, quarterback and super flex. That makes sense. You always want a quarterback there. 2.73 running backs. So two running backs for the two running back slots. And 0.73, so out of your remaining two flex spots across the league, you should expect to see eight running backs for a grand total of 32 running backs started on any given week. 1.29 tight ends, which if you base that on those same statistics, that's 12 tight ends for the 12 tight end spots. And then you have about 3.5, which means 3 to 4 tight ends for all of the other flex spots across the entire league, across all 24. So even at no tight end premium, tight end 15 is still better than replacement value. You just need to be pretty confident that, hey, I've got tight end 15. And we know that tight end outside of the top like 8 or so really kind of becomes a crapshoot and you're just hoping for touchdowns. So keep that part in mind too. It's not as sticky, not as predictable. And then lastly, 3.99, which I'm just going to count as 4 wide receivers. That's for 3 wide receiver spots, and then 1 of your 2 spots for every single team in the league should be a wide receiver. Simple as that. So realistically, if you're looking at a lineup league, you could really just turn it into a two quarterback, two tight end, or two quarterback, two running back, four wide receiver, one tight end, a running back tight end flex, and that would be a perfectly, it would be the same thing. It would not change at all because that's just how everything is shaking out. Now, where it starts to get interesting for this data and where I'm going to go into for the tight ends roster cloggers is what it looks like, that number of tight ends that you're going to expect to see started across the league, which, as I mentioned, was 1.29 or 15 and a half tight ends across the entire league. What happens to that number as you increase the tight end premium? So let's stick in the lineup realm first. In the lineup realm, you end up with looking at, we have the 15.48 at no tight end premium. With a 1.25, you've given a slight amount. Not many people play in this. Usually if people are doing tight end premium, they're going all the way up to 1.5. But for the sake of data, at 1.25, you see 1.43 tight ends per team, or 17.16. So, slight bump. At 1.5, it goes up to 1.54, or 18.48 tight ends across the whole league. At 1.75 tight end premium, you have 1.67 tight ends, or 20 tight ends for the entire league. So at that point, two out of every three teams has a second tight end that should be started in their flex. And then at tight end PPR, which is a lot for most leagues. Like, two is like, holy cow, this is a big tight end premium. You're still at 1.78 tight ends per team, with 21.36 tight ends started across the entire league on a weekly basis. In order to get all the way to where every single team should have two tight ends, you need to get all the way to a 2.5 tight end PPR. And that is keeping every other statistic like muted. So just standard PPR for running backs, standard PPR for wide receivers, no points per carry, no additional. This is 6 points per passing touchdown. So like, we're still having the two quarterbacks fill in even all the way up at 2.5. Once again, this is something I've talked about. You should always have a quarterback in your super flex spot. Might as well be a two quarterback league. Like, you're never going to be competitive without having a quarterback in that spot, unless like your league's values are all screwed up. But so two quarterbacks still there, but that tight ends, you finally get to 1.97, which is basically two per team, or 24 total across the entire league on a weekly basis with having a flex spot, or specifically having two flex spots. That's where it finally evens out. And 2.5, astronomical tight end premium, and I have yet to see a league with 2.5 tight end PPR where you don't have some other kind of bonus, where it's additional, it's like a tiered PPR system. Maybe wide receivers are getting 1.5 instead of one, or, you know, you got a points per carry out of the running back, or something along those lines. So what I see from that is having these tight ends, especially in a lineup league, outside of the top 24 guys, like, they aren't doing anything for you. They are not worth starting. But you see so many instances of people holding on to them for dear life. And it's like, you don't need to do that. We know that the tight ends, they're kind of like the wide receivers. When they get replaced due to injury, they don't come on as good as their predecessors. When TJ Hockenson went down, we weren't like, oh, Josh Oliver and Johnny Munt right up there into, you know, the tight end 12 range. It's like, no, they're on a weekly basis, we're ranking them tight end 25 to 30 because they aren't doing that much. when we're looking at, you know, some of these split tight end rooms, like just look at what the Colts were last year. Like, we didn't want any of those guys. Those guys weren't, you didn't have them in the top 30. You did not want a Colts tight end at all. But I can guarantee you, in all these two tight end PPR leagues, all of those guys are rostered because it's all the what if scenario with them. So, a little bit of my rant here is, I don't think you should hold on to these guys. You should treat it closer to, if it is a no tight end premium league, except for that you want to focus more on actually having a good tight end as opposed to building out of like the waiver wire. When I'm in a no tight end premium league, yeah, I can just go get tight end 50 off of waivers because that guy's just available to me because the league is not rostering them. And then also the difference between what is being put together elsewhere in my league at tight end 12 versus what I'm substituting in around tight end 20 to 25. It's what I found I can do with my tight ends don't matter strategy. That difference is only a couple points per game. That's fine. When you have a high tight end premium, that difference is going to be a little bit more than that. You're probably looking at 4 to 5, maybe even more points per game, depending on how high your tight end premium is. So you don't want to play that strategy there. You want to make sure that you have somebody that's in the normal range. Maybe you can get yourself a top 12 tight end, top 15 tight end, just to be able to, you know, keep pace at the position. Or, you know, go in and get one of the really top end guys, because once you get to there, the warp on those players is absolutely pushing the top of the league. You're competing up there with the top tier wide receivers and running backs, and even the quarterbacks, if you get all the way up into the 2 tight end PPR, the 2.5 tight end PPR. So outside of holding on to some of those rookies who might be able to take over that job, you don't really need to hold on to a lot of these backup tight ends that exist around the league. Like, all of your... I saw somebody talking about Austin Hooper today. Austin Hooper is not somebody that, in a lineup league, I'm going to hold on to. I'm going to let somebody else hold on to him, because realistically, he's not going to be an impact for my team. On the super-duper slim off chance that he does become something, sure, I'll go trade for him. But it's not like we're going to know when to start Austin Hooper on any given week if he's somebody that's a 3-reception for a touchdown kind of guy. So in a lineup league, save your roster spots so that way you can use them better suited for backup quarterbacks or backup running backs, the guys that you would want normally. It's just in a tight end premium, it makes you think that maybe you should be prioritizing a different position when you still should not be doing that. Now, if we go to best ball, in best ball, I was thinking that there might be a little bit of a difference in terms of the total number of tight ends, how many you would want in order to actually fill out your lineups. And what I ended up figuring out was that it looks more or less the same in a lineup league. You just get a little bit higher of a tight end number in terms of what the replacement level is going to be, how many you should be starting because you have the full bench to play with. Whereas in a lineup league, I'm basing it off of who people are actually starting. So in a best ball league, it's at no tight end premium, 15.96 or 16 tight ends are actually worth starting or falling into your lineup is what I'll call it in a best ball league. 16 tight ends fall into your lineup on a weekly basis across the entire league. So that's one per team. And then for 1/3 of the league, they also get a second one. That's not a whole lot, but that's to be expected. No tight end premium. Now, if we bump that up to 1.25, it becomes 17.76 or nearly 1.5 tight ends per team. At 1.5 tight end PPR, it's up to 19.32. At 1.75 tight end PPR, it's 20.64. And at 2 tight end PPR, it is 21.84. Now, what's important to keep in mind is these numbers aren't terribly different. that two tight end PPR number of 21.84, that's compared to the lineup number of 21.36. At 1.75, 20.64 is compared to 20.04. Not even a full tight end even gets bumped up as a result. The difference is that in best ball, we are looking at an instance where we don't need to choose a specific tight end. So we can go a little bit deeper. However, we still need to end up with getting some of these top guys on your teams. So you can't necessarily play the throw a bunch of trash at the wall strategy if you are going to be doing an extremely high tight end premium. You're going to miss out on a lot. Because if you're throwing a bunch of tight ends who are tight end 25 to 50 on a weekly basis and hoping that you get a performance that's inside the top 20, like, yeah, you'll probably end up with a performance inside the top 20, but it's not going to be a huge difference maker, and that difference can be a lot, especially in a best ball league. So that is, in a best ball league, is the one instance where I'm like, hey, I want to have a bunch of tight ends to fill out a nice floor, but I'm still going to need somebody who is strong. Especially once you get up into the higher tight end PPRs. You just need somebody who on a weekly basis you can rely on to catch multiple passes and put up big numbers. Because that's the thing that best ball really rewards. But even so, you can't build your team off of a bunch of those backup tight ends. Like, sure, you can give yourself a floor that is maybe okay, but you are nowhere near the ceiling that you need to have in terms of a warp perspective. And so you can't necessarily rely on, like, oh, I'm just going to roster basically every tight end that's on a 53-man roster. Like, that's not going to fly. Now, the question that I had coming off of all of this is, what about a two tight end league? Is there any point where it makes sense to actually be considering putting a tight end in my flex from a perspective of not that it, like, there is a huge benefit in a two tight end league or even a high tight end premium league. Like, if you can have Brock Bowers and you can have Trey McBride and you can get yourself George Kittle and you can have Travis Kelce, like, you're really dominating the top players at the position. Okay, that is a true positional advantage that you have over the rest of your league, especially at higher tight end premiums. Like, those guys absolutely can go into your flex. But the difference is, can you really utilize the guys who are way lower on the list? The guys who are down at tight end 25, the ones that are your Chigakonkwos, your Cade Ottens, your Mike Gesickis, your Dalton Schultz, Brenton Strange, guys like that. Are those guys ever going to be useful in your flex? And the short answer is no. Unless you have a tight end PPR that is higher than 2.5, that means you have a 2.75 tight end PPR or higher, and it is a two tight end league, and you have no other scoring bonuses to any other positions that are going to bump those positions up, then yes, it makes sense to start a couple tight ends in your flex spots. You can start all the way down at that 2.75 tight end PPR. You have given yourself the ability to start tight ends 25, 26, and 27. That's it. That's all that you've given yourself the ability to start on a weekly basis. So even in a two tight end league, it's really, you want the top 24 guys or you don't want them at all. You basically want, hey, is this guy a starter on the NFL team or is he not? You don't want to go fishing in the waters of the backups. Like, if you're sitting there in a two tight end league, that's a lineup league, like, unless you literally need a body to fill, why are you holding on to Jeremy Ruckert? why are you holding on to Stone Smart? Austin Hooper is another one. Why are you holding on to him? Luke Musgrave, Michael Mayer, like all these guys are like way down in the depths, and they've got so much value in your league because everyone's like, oh my God, it's a two tight end league. There's so much scarcity. I need to have all these tight ends. I don't think you do, because those guys are not going to make a difference for you. They are below the value on a weekly basis in terms of what you're actually wanting to start in your lineup. And so play it a little bit leaner. And yeah, if you end up needing to just start a body, you're going to find some scrub, some guy who's horrible. But really what you should be investing in is guys who are up in that top 24 range. And that's assuming you're up at the 2.5 tight end PPR. Keep in mind, at 2 tight end PPR, if it weren't for the fact, this is 2 tight end PPR and 2 tight end, if it weren't for the fact that you had 2 tight end, then you would only want to be starting 10 of the 12 tight ends that are actually going to be starting in your league. You would want to be replacing the last two guys with running backs and wide receivers. So when you're looking at this, the way I'm considering it is, okay, I'm going to look at what it would be in the standard, just single tight end realm. So if I have a 2 tight end, let's say it's a 2 tight end, 1.5 tight end PPR, because I've seen a couple of those. They seem kind of standard-ish, really nothing in 2 tight end is standard, but let's just say 2 tight end, 1.5 tight end PPR. Well, without the 2 tight end, what it would be is that we are starting 1.61 tight ends or 19.3 tight ends across the league. So you would want your tight end to be top 19. In that kind of league, that means if we're looking at Fantasy Pros ECR, the last guys that you would want to have rostered as a, hey, I'm going to start these guys and I'm going to feel fine with it, is Tyler Warren, Colson Loveland, Hunter Henry, Kyle Pitts, and Zach Ertz. The guys who you don't want to have, the ones who you want to be getting rid of off of your team and sell them to the other people that are going to overvalue the tight end position because it's a 2 tight end PPR are Isaiah Likely, Pat Freiermuth, Mike Gesicki, Cade Otton, Chig Okonkwo, Dalton Schultz, Brenton Strange, Mason Taylor. Like, I just rattled off names of a bunch of guys that I know I'm excited for a couple of them. I think of them as guys that, especially in my best ball leagues, where I'm like, man, I want to have a bunch of these guys. But in that lineup 2 tight end league, it's not worth it. I don't need those guys. I don't need to have them on my team because they should be outside of the lineup. They should be outside of the warp range. So give me something way lower. Let me fill a body. Can I take Mike Gesicki? Everyone knows he's the starting tight end on Cincinnati. Let's take him and sub him out for Tyler Higbee. Maybe I can get a little bit of performance out of Tyler Higbee in what might be his last season starting as the tight end for the Rams. Or maybe I can throw my hat into the New York Giants room and Theo Johnson. Theo Johnson's all the way down there, tight end 36 in terms of the Fantasy Pros ECR. Like, people obviously are not that excited about him. Just bump myself down some large tiers, because at that point, the difference is so low that all these guys should not be started except for the fact that you're forcing them to get filled. You're forcing them to just be like, you have to start 2 of them. You just got to slap a second body in there. Well, if I'm going to do that, I want my second body to be the cheapest body that I can get. And that's how I want to play 2 tight end. Unless I can get myself a second body that's, you know, in that top group. Sure. If my second body is Hunter Henry, if my second body is Tyler Warren, Colson Loveland, or even if it's Zach Ertz, because Zach Ertz is that tight end 19. If that's my second body, I'm keeping him. I'm holding on to him. He is in that warp range where he actually makes a difference. It's the people that are asking for a ransom for Cade Otton, for Chigga Okonkwo, for Mike Gesicki, for Brenton Strange. Like, no, I'm not doing that. That does not make any sense to do. And that's not what you should be doing on your teams either. The only reason you should have a bunch of these tight ends is if you can use them to package other things and give yourself up tiers in your league, stuff like that, because they value them. That's the only reason to have them. Otherwise, you don't need them, so get rid of them and move on and fill those roster spots with something better. So, yeah, that's my rant on tight ends and how many people have. I know after doing this analysis, I'm cutting down even more on some of my two tight end lineup leagues. I have quite a few tight ends rostered on a couple of them, just because, like, as I've been looking at other teams in the league, it feels like, oh man, I've got to get them. And so you just go pick up everyone who's on waivers. Like, they're a backup. Oh, they could become the starter. Well, maybe if you're rebuilding, it's worth it to do that, because then you can sell them to somebody who thinks their starter goes down. They're like, oh man, I got to have the guy who's starting for this team now. Especially if you see somebody like go down that's on a team that utilizes their tight end a decent amount. Like, if Evan Engram goes down, I can guarantee you that whoever is listed as the backup on the Denver Broncos at the time, their value is going to shoot up. And if you just have them rostered, you're going to be able to get a pretty good value for them. And right now, that's Adam Trautman. So if you have Adam Trautman rostered and Evan Engram goes down, oh, you're in for a great time. But on a contender, why are you holding on to Adam Trautman? You don't need that. And if Evan Engram goes down, he's not going to be Evan Engram. You aren't going to get what you're trying to get anyway. So, moral of the story is, especially in lineup leagues, don't hold on to extra tight ends. When this update to the warp tool comes out, please do take a look at it and pay attention to how many tight ends you should have on a weekly basis on your team. And don't stretch yourself too far. Don't be like, oh, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to roster all these tight ends in the tight end 20 to 50 range, because, you know, I'm in a two tight end league. I need to have these guys. You don't need to. They are not making a difference for your team, even if you have that scarcity issue. If you want to get in on the warp tool before the update, definitely go to southharmonff.com and check it out there. And as always, make sure to stay sharp and keep grinding that edge. I'll see you next week.